Good afternoon. Good afternoon. How's everyone? All right, what a joy to be here to sing to the Lord, to open up His Word. Never want to neglect the Word of God, amen? Reading it, studying it, looking at it, the excitement of God's Word. Okay, so today I'm actually going to be speaking to the young people because I'm going to be doing a conference where half of it is for young people, the other half for adults. So, y'all are my guinea pigs. So here's what you're going to do. If there's something that you didn't like or you couldn't follow, you're going to let me know afterwards, right? Okay? All of you younger people. So let me know, like, nah, that wasn't very good, and I'll switch it around. So you have to let me know, because y'all really are my guinea pigs. So for the old folks, just follow along. Hopefully you drank your coffee. And so even if you drink your coffee, you're still going to probably fall asleep on me, but that's all right. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. Okay, obviously, if you've been listening, I have been having Jeremiah as my devotion. Even though I've taught it before, completely the whole book in a class, so I need notes on every chapter. This is one chapter I've never heard preached in my life, and some of you may not even know who these people are. So let's read it. Then from there, that's just our springboard. From there, we'll go on to other texts. Okay. So this is called the conviction of the believer. So Jeremiah 35 and 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the day of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites and speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Now, automatically the young people are like, hey, this is exciting. You know, God's going to bring us into church. He's going to crank out the wine and say, come on, man, sip some juice. Right? So, you're already excited just by looking at this. Verse 3. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of, oh boy, Habazaniah, and his brothers, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the son of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was near the chamber of the officials, which was above the chamber of that guy, the son of Shalom, the doorkeeper. Then I set before the men of the house of the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. All right, so what do you think? Anybody here ever heard of the Rechabites? Raise your hand if you never heard of the Rechabites. Be honest. You never heard of the Rechabites? Okay, well now you're going to know about the Rechabites. They're in the Bible. So picture, this is a tremendous lesson here, all right? Well, let's finish reading, then I'll come back and give the details. All right, so the Rechabites. So he tells them, come in the church, get pitchers full of wine, go ahead and drink. Man, for a lot of young people, they're like, all right, man, we get to have a ball here. Where's that church located? I want to go. Verse 6, but they said, the Rechabites said, we will not drink wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall not drink wine, you or your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, and you shall not sow seed, and you shall not plant vineyards or own one, but in tents you shall dwell all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. And we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he commanded us, not to drink wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, and we do not have vineyards or fields or seed. We have only dwelt in tents and have obeyed and have done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. Wow. What an exciting story. So did you follow what was going on? Jeremiah is speaking to people who will not listen to God's word. Absolutely disobedient. They want to do their own thing. So what God says is, I want to use the family of Jonadab, the Rechabites, as an illustration of what it means to be a man or woman of family of God. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go get the family. You're going to bring them in, and you're going to put wine before them. You're going to say, go ahead, drink. Right? Now, it's not a sin to sip some wine once in a while, but that's not the point here. Now, the Rechabites were people who Jonadab said, I don't want you to buy a home. Right? And we just talked about somebody just purchased a home. I bought one myself. But the man said to his children, you're not going to buy a home, you're going to live in tents. Right? Now, obedience is, you're like, oh, come on, that you're ridiculous. Live in tents. I want you to live in tents. Not only that, you're not going to buy land. You're not going to have vineyards or crops or whatever, right? What you're going to do is that you're going to have cattle, and you're going to just be like nomads in tents, move around with your cattle, and that's how you're going to live. That's what I want you to do. All right, now, when did Jonadab tell the children this? From this point, from where he's been written, how far back? Come on, somebody guess. Raise your hand and give me a number. 20 years before? 30 years before? How many?
Moses.
How many?
300 years.
How many?
400 years.
245 years before. Now you would think, all right, mom and dad, that was 200 years ago. That great grandpa who was, out of it and not in tune with what's going on in our days, that was his idea. Don't you think it's rather ridiculous? That's not the point. They said, but our dad, that's what he wanted. And he asked us to do it. And here's what we do. Not only us, but the wife we chose. We said, hey, wife, before we get married, by the way, we're going to live in tents, not in a home. How do you like that? Right? We're going to have cattle. That's what God called us to do. All right? So before we get married, are you going to be all right with that? Yeah. We're going to raise our children that way too. Okay? And they did it. Remarkable. So God says, all right, let's test them. Let's see if they really obey or if it's just superficial. Let's see if their faith is real. Let's see if they're real Christians that live it out every day. When no one's watching, bring them into the temple and put wine before them. Let's see if they don't sip some of that juice. After all, we got freedom, right? We got freedom. And the prophet Jeremiah said we couldn't do it. Yeah? And so if he said, Uncle John said I could do it, so hey, he's a Christian. He said I could do it. Why not? And so they put him in there. They set the wine before him. Go ahead, drink. And what did they say? What did they say? You with me? They said what? No. 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 Why? Because our father said not to, and we're obeying, and we're not going to do it. Now, if you go on reading the story, you can read it later, but you'll go on to say, why are my people, the Israelites, not obedient like this family? And so, no one was watching. Excuse me. No one was watching. No one would have blamed them if they went ahead and said, you know what, that was 200 something years ago, I'm going to go ahead and buy a house. Well, nobody would have accused them, but they said, we're going to obey. And so, obedience is important. My computer turned off. Hang on. Obedience is important to God more than anything. Even when it doesn't make sense. Right? And even when no one's looking, even if the prophet, hang on a minute, I'm having some technical problems. Time out. I'll be right there. Sorry about that. That's why it's dangerous to use computers, because sometimes they act up on you and you have to do stuff like this and ruin the flow. And I do apologize. Okay. Okay, now what are you doing? I'll be right there. Sorry. I'm not sure why it's acting up. I never have a problem with this thing. Ah, okay. Here we go. All right. So, the whole point of this thing was obedience, right? They obeyed, even though by this time you would have thought, well, dad's plan was ridiculous. Let's go ahead and buy a house. Let's go ahead and settle in, all right? Now, turn with me to Daniel now, chapter 1. Let's look at another example. Now, this is the same time period. Daniel was part of the group that was taken by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. Not only him, but a bunch of other young men and young women. All right, so I want you to notice chapter 1, verse 6. Now, among them who were taken to Babylon from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, something like that, Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel, now even though it says Daniel, all four were together, all of the men, all the young men, okay, made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. And if you keep reading, it says that all four of them were looking better, because it wasn't just Daniel, but all four. All right. Now, we have a similar circumstance. You have these four young men in Babylon, away from their parents. No one's there watching. The king puts before them food and wine, women, all these things. And these four men had conviction in their heart. They were obedient to God. And they said, even though no one's watching and we have all the freedom to do this, we made up our mind that we're going to live for God. I have a deep-rooted conviction that my God is real and I'm going to live for Him. And so we're not going to go there. And so they didn't. And they didn't. You remember that story, right? Now then go to Genesis 37. You're going to find a similar circumstance. Genesis 39. And let's go to verse 7 and 9. 7 through 9. Genesis 39, 7 through 9. Now it's Joseph. You know Joseph? He's in Egypt. Again, he's away from his country. Nobody's around. He can do whatever he wants. No one would blame him. Verse 7, and it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and he said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all things that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife." Now here's the clincher. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? He was all by himself. No one would have known. He was away from his family. No one was watching. And yet he says, "No, I won't go there because I have a deep fear and reverence for God." Now, go to Hebrews with me. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. All right, now, another circumstance that's very interesting. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. It's like saying, we'll send you to one of the wealthiest persons in the U.S. You can be trained by them, be educated by them. You're going to have the best of everything. You're going to have every pleasure at your fingertip, whatever you want. Nothing's withheld from you. And so we read in Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, notice, refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. So in other words, to be called Pharaoh's daughter came with all the privileges, all the money, all the pleasures, go anywhere you want, do anything you want, have anything you want, nobody would tell you anything. Notice verse 25. But choosing, so first he refused, second he chose, choosing rather, to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So he made a tremendous choice. Right? I choose to be treated wrong, to suffer with God's people. I'd rather suffer and live for God and be mocked and just endure so much negativity because of God's people than to right now be called Pharaoh's daughter and choose all those pleasures that come with that name. Notice what he says then, and rather, verse 26. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And so Egypt had unending treasures. At that time, Egypt was the wealthiest city of the world. So basically, Moses had at his fingertips all the money he wanted. He can get a private jet, if you will. He can go and drive a BMW or whatever the hot car is of the day. He had all these options. All the riches were there. But he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches. Why? For he was looking to the reward. So in other words, Moses had a deep-seated faith, a deep-rooted conviction that even though this is available to me and I can have it, what I see right now is that that's temporal. Okay, 30, 40, 50 years, and then it's over. But what I'm looking at is, if I go with Christ, if I choose to suffer for Christ, to live for Christ, to give testimony of Christ, if I deny all of this and go for Him, I'm going to suffer. It's going to be tough, but my reward is going to be eternal. It's going to be long. You know, when we go to a bank, or when we take our money, we invest it somewhere. Why do you invest it? Because you're thinking 30, 40 years down the line, I want to be able to have that money, and it's going to benefit me. It's going to bless me. I'm going to be able to retire, if you will, right? So Moses said, you know what? If I invest in pleasures right now, at the end of the day, that was it. 30, 40 years of playing around. But if I invest in Christ and I identify with Him, He's going to have eternal rewards. Now by faith, He saw that. By faith, He saw that. So what did He do then? Notice, He refused. He chose the reproach of Christ instead of riches because He was looking ahead to the reward. So John 14, 15 says, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. 2 Timothy 4, 14 through 15, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So in other words, here's Timothy. He grew up in a Christian home. He heard the word of God. But he became convinced that it's true. I sat down with a young man not too long ago, 17 years old, living a life of debauchery. And I said to him, why are you doing this? This is what he told me. Ever since I was little, Dad does devotions and we pray, and I've heard about Christ all my life. And I guess just because I'm so sick of hearing about it, I said, so you haven't turned to Christ for salvation? No, I'm not saved and I'm just sick of hearing it. And he walked away. We haven't seen him back at church. He's living with a girl. See, the danger is, young people, is that you've heard it and you've heard it and you've heard it, but the faith has to become your own. It has to become real to you. It's not mamas or dads. It's not the assemblies. It's my faith, and I believe in Christ, and I'm deeply convinced about it. So you see that the Rechabites, even though the dad preached to them a certain truth, they said, we want to obey, and it's our conviction, and we're going to live it out. Even though you put wine before us, we won't do it. And Daniel and the four guys said the same thing. Yes, there's all this food and these pleasures and this wine and all this stuff, but we're not going to do it because we have this deep-rooted conviction that Jesus Christ is for real. We're going to live for Him. And Moses had all of this available to him, but he had this conviction Nobody twisted his arm. No one made him. But he says, no, I'm not going to go the way of sin. I'm going to follow Christ, even if it means I'm going to suffer. And so Timothy, the same thing. Timothy, you were young, and you grew up hearing the Word of God. You know, your grandma and your mom taught you. But you became convinced that it was true. So it became your own. Timothy, you have a real, sincere faith. I see it in you. It was true of your mom, but it's true of you because you made up your mind that it's real and it's your faith. Now I want you to note several points here. Each one made a choice to obey. Each one made a choice to obey. Secondly, each one loved God deeply. Third, each one was alone and could have got away with it. Fourth, each one had a deep conviction that serving God has eternal value. Fifth, self-denial was exercised in each case. Did you notice? Self-denial was exercised in each case. You had to deny the flesh. Next, each one had a great reverence and fear of God. A great reverence and fear of God. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? So, if we don't have a deep-seated conviction about the inspired Word of God and holy reverence towards God, it's only a matter of time before your true convictions are revealed. Alright? So, I grew up in an assembly like this one, but we had 50 young people. We had over 300 people in the church. Of those 50 young people, not even 10 are living for God. Because as time went on, it kept revealing and kept showing up that they didn't have a true conviction. They heard it, they professed Christ, they sang the song, they did the things, but there was no reality to their faith. Of those 50, most of them are divorced. Some of them are even denying Christ. Just a handful are living for Christ. So Joshua says this, after he brought the people through the wilderness and they finally entered in to the promised land, that they defeated the enemy after 7-something years of battle and fighting and scratching it out. They finally get to the place where there's a time of rest. But Joshua was uneasy. He could see that there was no conviction in many of them. And so this is what he tells them. You can read the whole chapter yourself, but Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today who you will serve. So you can see that as he looked at the people, he goes, some of you aren't convinced. You God brought us through all of these victories, and he did all these great things to us. He gave us this land now. Everybody is settled down, but some of you still aren't convinced, and I can see it. Some of you are going to choose to go back to the old gods. That's why he says, if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today who you're going to serve. Whether the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living, but notice the conviction here. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When we were growing up, I had a good friend. We grew up hearing the Word of God. You know, in the youth group together, and we would hear the word, and we went on some mission trips together. And then, for some reason or another, he stopped coming to church. A few years later, I run into him in the street somewhere, and we started talking, and then this is what he tells me. Hey, Ray, you still going to church? And I go, yeah, why? He goes, I'm not. He goes, you still believe all that stuff that they used to tell us? I'm like, yes. He tells me, I don't. And then he goes on to tell me some sins that he was doing. And like, so he chose that path. See, he never became convinced. He grew up, he heard about it, but it wasn't a reality. It wasn't a reality. And so, let me say something. Less, our faith becomes real to where we're living it, where no one's watching, and practicing it, and choosing to obey, even if it doesn't make sense to you. It's only a matter of time. And the true conviction in your heart is going to show up. And I pray that you do as the Rechabites did. They chose to obey. As Daniel and the other buddies, the four guys, right? They decided in their heart they're not going to contaminate themselves. As Joseph, how could I do this evil and sin against God? As Timothy, who was convinced and he had a sincere faith that what he heard about Jesus Christ was real. And as Moses, who chose rather to suffer for Christ because he could see that his faith was real and at the end he's going to be rewarded. I've preached at enough churches and grown up in church and seen enough to where I'm not convinced that everyone here is fully committed to Christ. And I pray that you would be. That you would choose this day who you would serve. Have conviction and live it out. And live it out. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these men and their deep-rooted conviction that Jesus was real. They had really repented and trusted him. They were living for him. And it showed up when they were alone and no one was watching. And I pray that everyone in this room would not only be saved, but they would make that choice to live for you with full conviction, unashamed. And I pray this would be true in me first. In Jesus' name.